Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show. Well, hello, and happy hump night from somewhere in Middle America. Hope you guys are all doing well tonight. For those of you who are new around here, Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. Guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a We Recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers, and for that, it takes a good bit of warrior. Again, I'm your host, Kim Justice, and if you want to know more about me, you can check out my website at inaflash.org. All one word, lowercase. How quickly our lives can change, right? Inaflash.org. Or you can like me on Facebook at inaflash.org. Make sure to put the .org on there to find my show page on Brain Injury Radio, or you'll wind up with, I don't know, something really obscure that's not me. I'm taking a look here, and my guest, who I'm excited about having, has not shown up yet. I have some other material we can talk about. I can even talk about some of her material, or we can have an open mic night. But I think what I'm going to do first is try to call. I have one number, and I think it's her daytime number, so I may or may not have any luck reaching her. But since she was going to call in about 8 minutes before the show started, and we're a couple minutes into the show and she's not on my switchboard, I think I will take the one shot at it. So what I'm going to do is play you a song. Don't go anywhere. Just kick back and relax for a moment. You know, tonight I think I'm going to play John Cruise. I was thinking, oh, wait a minute. This could be Marcella Now. In fact, Let me put on a piece of another song real quick, because I just want to make sure that this is her, and I'll put on something that isn't long and that is instrumental. Art, the art, and then I'll let you know about Marcella. This is Donovan Johnson with a song called, let's see, 2 minute song, right? Last goodbye. And I'll be back to say hello in just a moment. So 2 minutes and I will be right back. Thanks so much. That was, again, Donovan Johnson has all kinds of great CDs and instrumentals. I encourage you to look him up and on YouTube, too. That was called Last Goodbye. So now, our guest tonight did show up. So glad that she's here. Love, Peace, and Vegetables is the name of our show tonight with Marcella Benson. Marcella Benson, after a life-changing journey, created Love, Peace, and Vegetables, Recipes for Conscious Living. It's a spiritual meditation on and guide to the wonder of live food cuisine. Love, Peace, and Vegetables assembles what she learned so that you can share and pass it along to the world. Embracing a spiritual approach to conscious living and total immersion in the food live food lifestyle, Marcella is an elegant ambassador for the transformational life she espouses. This incredible book, and it truly, truly is, filled with arresting art, poetry, spiritual inspiration, pristine eating food prep instruction, never before assembled in one place, gorgeous photography of luscious dishes worthy of gourmet magazines, and hundreds of yummy recipes that will entice the palate, is a one-of-a-kind labor of love. And it is a guidebook for self-love and a manual for adding more love into the world. While we're speaking of love, if you want to know more about Marcella, her website is Marcella, M-A-R-C-E-L-A dot love, L-O-V-E. I will add that to my program notes, excuse me, after the show. So as you know, this show is live within an hour after we get off the air. It's in on demand. Right now, the website isn't there. I'll repeat it a couple times during the show. But, you know, once again, if you're driving or sitting in your easy chair, don't worry about it. If you don't have a pen, it will be in the program notes by later this evening. And I do want to say before I bring her on, and I'm going to in just 2 seconds, that this is one of the most incredible books I've ever seen. For one thing, this is not the kind of book you would want to put on top of your head to make sure that your posture was good. This is a huge book, and a heavy book, but it is just gorgeous. It's everything that the bio says. There's beautiful art, poetry, recipes, tips for a healthier lifestyle, and it's just very cool. I just thought I would say that because I'm sitting here with it in my hand, and Marcella was first going to be on in June, and we rescheduled her, so I've had this book for a while, and it is really a one-of-a-kind, so I encourage you, stick around, listen to the show tonight, and make sure to check out her website and the book. It truly is awesome, and I'm excited about hearing about the journey that brought her here. So with that, I am going to bring on Marcella Benson right now. Marcella, you're on the air. Welcome. Thanks so much for being here tonight.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You know, one comment I'd like to make before we officially get started in the interview, and sorry about that ping. I turned off my telephone. I should warn everybody out there, turn off your phone. Just kidding. They're not on the air with us. But I usually always turn off my phone, and when I was reading it, pinged. So that won't happen again. Apologies.
No problem.
What I wanted to ask, and that that threw me off here on Brain Injury Radio. Your book would be fantastic anytime. But as you're aware, everybody's aware, this last couple and a half years, first of all, the virus has put an emphasis on trying to live healthier to fight this ourselves. You know, we've got a vaccine we all were really looking forward to, hoping it would just take the problem away, you know, out of our consciousness and our reality, and it just wouldn't be a problem anymore. And that didn't quite work out as planned. And then, you know, that we would have a therapeutic that was effective, and that has some issues with it as well. And now we're, you know, hearing talk, we're on the fourth set of shots with them talking about a fifth shot coming in the fall, and people are very confused, first of all, about that, and then with politics and civil unrest and things, you know, that have been, just the things that have caused a chaotic environment in the last couple of years. A lot of people who may have been somewhat chaotic before are probably much more so at this point. And people that weren't, society, the earth, the president, whatever you want to blame it on, has just kept heaping on more and more heaviness. And so when I was looking at your book, a couple of things occurred to me. You know, we always, I'm not going to want to, you know, seek self-care, self-nurturing, wellness, and those sorts of things. But during this period of stress, I've noticed, I'm hearing a lot of people, COVID weight is something that is probably going into the dictionaries about now. Yeah, two kinds of people, those who are exercising incessantly and doing a lot of the things that are in your book. I'm sure they'll do a lot more of the things that are in your book when they become aware of a few things we're going to talk about tonight. They just don't have the awareness. And then others that have just been somewhat paralyzed in some ways, and maybe doing more nervous eating or not eating properly from not going into, farmers markets are good if you're in the Midwest right now because you can actually get clean food. But in the winter in the Midwest, in the places where it snows, that's a lot harder to do. And so anyway, this is great timing for your book. As I said, any time is a great time for your book. But, you know, right now, from a societal perspective and a personal perspective, because as I say in the beginning, it's spiritual, meditational, self-care, and, you know, the wonder of life, food, and the seeking of wellness. So this is a really great time to be bringing that up and out, and in such a beautiful way, the beautiful way that you have done it. So with that being said, why don't you tell the audience, I've read it already, but I'd like to hear it from you, just a little bit about your background and what got you on the road to wellness and making the choices long before you came later on in the show. I'll ask you what prompted you to make, because this had to be a overwhelmingly probably happy, pleasant project for you, but this is a big project, this book. And when I said that, just kidding earlier about not the kind you want to put on your head to make up for your posture, you know, and you know that's true because it is big. But I mean, really, the thought that you put into it of all of the beautiful art, the beautiful poetry, the beautiful photography of the food, the magic and love in your words and your mood, putting the package together of love, peace, and vegetables had to be a tremendous undertaking, even if it was an enjoyable, happy thing for you. It was huge. So one thing I guess is I'll congratulate you just on doing such a exemplary job on something that you can tell by looking was not a simple writing a book with a few photos in it kind of thing. This was really thought out, but we'll get to that as we go a little further. I always just kind of, for the audience, like to start at the beginning and do a linear type interview where we start at the beginning, get a little background. You tell us about you and what was going on in your life. And because I read a little, you know, your family, and one of the things that, because this book and your lifestyle challenged, I talk on this show a lot. It's a recovery-based show on a lot of different levels, and I'm always saying that we have to be willing to let go of old ideas, because a lot of those old ideas that we came up with keep us in to the bondage of self and won't allow us to grow. It appears, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, that you're one of those people who have successfully done this, and that's not that there was anything wrong. It was just the way that things were done and the way you came up, and you had to let go of some old ideas in order to embark on the journey that you did.
Yes, absolutely. I like very much what you said about recovery, you know, that you have a show about recovery. And yes, you know, the book that I did was a process of that. My life, how I changed my life and what I teach was a process of that, of recovering from bad habits, from bad ideas, from ignorance, from, you know, bad food that make you addictive. And doing the book that I did, that it took me 10 years to put together and a lifetime of and my journey and knowledge and study, you know, more than 20 years, I did it with a very specific intention, because I believe that how you get through recovery is having very good teachers and things that inspire you to be better.
Yes.
Inspiration.
Absolutely.
Is huge. So I wanted to make this book in a way that inspires you to pick it up and read it and maybe do a recipe. And, you know, and when you have something that is so beautiful that you can't help but touch it or pick it up, it reminds you of your own beauty. It reminds you that you are worth it. It reminds you that your life is worth living in a way that takes you towards happiness and gratefulness, you see. And that's why you see this book, because I did it with the intention that I wanted to inspire people into go into their better selves.
So tell us a little bit about, you start out the book talking about love, and you talk about self-love, and one of the things that you mention is dancing, waking up, and loving ourselves, and specifically love, family, and attention disorders, and we are what we eat. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience? When I read that, I looked at, you know, for example, my parents' parents would have gone through the Depression. And I grew up in what I call a clean your plate family. Grew up in a clean your plate family. And that is that, you know, at a time when there wasn't food, there were shortages of food, kind of like we're building up to today. But during the Depression, anyway, my parents' parents were very aware, and then they passed down the lessons to me. I didn't have children to pass those lessons down to, but it becomes kind of a generational thing in a lot of ways. But people from that era, when things turned around and there was more food, there was, and I'm not saying that we think that you should waste food now, but there was a tendency to eat everything that was put on your plate, clean your plate, and a lot of it was what we call in this day and age comfort food, which had a lot of carbs and wasn't necessarily the healthiest of food, and then to eat a lot of it, you know, society grew over the last 100 years. You know, it used to be a tall person was maybe 5'5", you know, and you look at back at the cavemen, different civilizations, and the civilization was much smaller in height, stature, weight. And then as we got more prosperous, it seemed that people got taller, heavier. And that's just kind of the way that we've evolved. So your family ate a little bit differently than they're probably eating now since this book came out. And I'm sure you're a great ambassador toward, you know, to your family as well as everyone else that gets touched by the words in the book. But you haven't always been, this was a journey to self-love and this type of eating, right? You had, talk a little bit about your old ideas that you were faced with and made you decide to make the shift. It humanizes you, your story to people out there who might be where you were and find it an impossible idea to think of completely changing up the diet. This will tell you how with both drinking and eating, and we'll talk about that as we go along. But talk a little bit about your, like I say, your past, your beginning, that where you were doing things differently than what you came up with.
Absolutely. Yes, I grew up, you can imagine, I grew up in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, in a very, very fast-paced city. If you can imagine a mixture of a little bit of New York and France and Italy has a little bit of everything, you know. Buenos Aires was founded by a lot of the old European artisans and full of people and, of course, a meat based diet. And my father and his family came from Syria. My mom came from Israel. And I had the food culture in my family was a lot of vegetables, but meat based. And definitely, you know, our ancestors, nobody, there is no nutrition education. I think after the 1800s or 1890s, the food education went somewhere very far away from humanity. Before that, if you talk to the Native peoples, and even today, Native people remember that every 4 months you have to do, you have to do something to take the parasites out. That was very important back then. And in some
yes.
Native cultures, they still remember, you see. But already my parents, my grandparents, already their culture lost a lot of that. My grandpa, my parents lost it. And I went into a search to find it because I was so sick. By the time I had my first son at 24. And by the time I was 25, I weighed 258 pounds and I couldn't tie my shoes. It was just
mm-hmm.
tremendous what happened to me. And mind you, I was already a vegetarian, and I thought, you know, because I started my spiritual life at 15 years old. I started meditating, and I became a vegetarian, and I was a yogi, and I started this lifestyle very, very, very early. But mind you, I had zero education. I just thought that if I ate vegetables and I ate everything but meat, I would be fine, because that was the mentality. And that's the mentality that most of the people have. They have, you know, I believe that, you know, there's certain things that we need to start teaching, not only to doctors, but in schools. We need to start putting our hands into the ground. It needs to be part of everyday life. Food is so important. Nutrition is so important. Preventative, you know, we don't need to get this sick. Society doesn't need to be this sick. So it is a huge mismanagement and a huge ignorance, or whatever you want to call it, you know. Let's not go so deep into there, but let's go deep into what can we do today, or what have I done to change it in my life, yeah? So in my life, to change it, to change all of these, to the ignorance, I have to study a lot. I had to dedicate myself to study. One, my father was sick for most of my life, so I saw my father with wounds that will never heal, because he was a diabetic type 2. And I saw how he suffered with the wounds. I saw his feet, and I saw how he lost his sight. And, you know, he passed away in doing, he had dialysis at the last part of his life, you know, and diabetes is one of those sicknesses that slowly but surely, you know, takes away a lot of life from you, you know, between the pancreas and the legs and the eye and the heart. Yeah, he ended up passing away from diabetes. And I saw that all my life, you know, and I at the time, there was no cure for it. They still say that there is no cure. They sentence you with that. And I don't believe that, once, because I worked with one of the most prominent doctors for the last past 20 years on curing diabetes, Dr. Gabriel Cousins. Curing diabetes naturally, okay, type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. When I learned that was part of my schooling. How do you recover people from that? And it is an approach, you know, it's an approach that it's not only a spiritual, it's at an emotional level also, erasing the fear, you see. And in life, it's all an approach. It's not a one-way street. There is many avenues that we need to change to make changes, to make true changes, okay? So basically...
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we shouldn't look at it also. It's important because, you know, we are taught that, okay, we are here, we're adults, and we got somewhere. And I think that's a misteaching. You know, life, until the day that you die, when all the time when you're in this body, at whatever age you are, there is time to learn, time to change, you know, time to take back the things you didn't like and make better ones. you know, and this should be the joyful thing, not as you're not competent or you have not, you know. And this is very important because this is something that I see a lot and how people speak to themselves. You know, how do you speak to yourself when you do something bad? Do you keep mowing over it and over it and over it, and you look for something to make yourself better? You know, and this is important.
Yes.
What are you saying every day in your head? Is it negative? Is it so negative that all of a sudden you can't even hear what you're saying to yourself, and you have the face, and the face looks down, and your eyes are down? You see, so this is a reflection. Your face, your body, it's a reflection of what you think of yourself and how you talk to yourself.
Yes, you know, I find it amazing going back. I mean, everything, I'm just kind of tracking back to what you said, but I was blown away that you were vegetarian and had, you know, an issue with weight. A lot of people think just cutting out the meat and becoming a vegetarian is going to do that for them, that it's a healthy lifestyle, and couldn't imagine that you could be overweight from vegetables.
Yes. Well, because, you see, this is a total myth that if you're a vegetarian or you're a vegan, you are by default healthier. Yes, you might be by default healthier, but if you don't know how to do it, you might be eating, for example, as a vegetarian, maybe with cheese and bread and pasta, you see? So basically, those are vegetables. That's a high-carb diet, which converts into sugar,
yeah,
which converts into fat, you see? That's a high-carb diet, and it's terrible for you. It's one of the worst things you can do for yourself. But when you don't know, you don't know. And maybe you have soda and you have a diet soda. You see, I remember back in the days when I was in my 20s with my husband, we would go to the restaurant and they had, okay, all you can drink soda. So we would both order the diet soda. Yeah. And this was terrible for us. And we had no idea, you see. And then I remember back in the days, also in my 20s, and even when I was 15, and we would come to vacation with my parents to the U.S., there was the big fad with the fat-free everything. I remember my father filling up the refrigerator because this was not seen in South America back in the day. So he had all the fat-free meals and the fat-free everything, and everybody thought we were eating healthy. You see, so ignorance is a very big part of what we do in life.
Absolutely.
So
oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yes, exactly.
And they do have so many come-ons, like you say, with the fat-free, the diet. There's so many wording on labels, you know, and the way that they address certain foods, knowing that people want to have a healthier life, a healthier diet, and marketing plays on that, and it's not necessarily true. It might have less fat, but it's full of salt or full of sugar or full of chemicals in the case of that diet soda you were talking about, that negate anything. You know, they were trying to put out one idea, but it was completely erased by, you know,
yes,
the rest.
Even now, you see, because the ignorance is so great, and even now, like, for example, oh, great, gluten-free is phenomenal. But then you go and you read the ingredients in most of the gluten-free breads, and the ingredients are so bad for you that you might as well go and eat some gluten, for God's sake, because it's going to be as bad as the other ingredients are, like a potato starch or tapioca starch and all of these starches that they put together for you to have a gluten-free bread, which at the end of the day, it can elevate your sugar so much and throw you off in other parts of your life. So, you know, so it's important to know your ingredients. It is important to know your combinations. It is important if you're going to become a vegan or a vegetarian, and what are your options? What are your proteins? Yeah, for example, your vegetable proteins, which are so wonderful and so delicious, and they're bioavailable, see? And to understand that variety is important, and that at the beginning, if we're not used to variety, we're not used to going to farmers market, okay, it's a big change, and we have to be patient with yourself to take the step to go to the farmer's market, or to take the step to find your organic food. Organic is very important also, because if your body is not working well, your digestion is not working well, you know, and maybe you have glyphosate in your system because most of it is grown with glyphosate, and glyphosate kills the good bacteria in your gut. So we have so many things that we need to learn in order to be healthy. And there is so much wonderful information nowadays that we must take the time, because once you learn it, you cannot unlearn it.
True. That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, one of the things I was wondering is that, like I said, it works well this time of year in a lot of parts of the country because there are farmers markets that you can go to, and you know that things are grown locally and they're farms that you know you can drive out and see.
Yeah.
If you want and buy it out there, you don't have to go to their stand if you don't want to, you know, that are scattered around town. But you know, at the grocery, I find myself wondering sometimes about things that they call organic, and knowing that regular produce, one of my complaints is unless we're going to, which isn't a bad idea, you know, unless we're all going to go a certain way toward growing some of our own food, you know, I found it amazing to find out how much produce we don't grow in this country. And some of these other countries don't have, and not that we always follow them, but at least there are some regulations, you know, about irrigating, about cleaning, some, and that other countries simply don't have. And since a lot of this produce is porous in nature, then some of the things you were talking about, whether it's parasitic, that would be one, I guess, or I don't know what all else, whether you call it organic or just a regular tomato, you know, that has come. I guess I just have some concern about that. Do you grow your own? Do you always buy? You live in a part of the country where you can always do farmer market or grow your own or
yes.
Access organics, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you see, one of the things is that, you know, I've been around the world and I've ate organic all around the world. So it is possible to do wherever you are in the coldest of the coldest weather nowadays if you organize yourself. And you get to know wherever you go, and you're, because you see, it makes a difference when you are committed to this lifestyle, because you're not just doing it for yourself. You know, I've been also in farms where they use glyphosate and they use all kinds of pesticides and fungicides, and I've seen the soil hard as a rock. You see, I've seen dead soil. And I have also seen what happens in places where they don't have any regulations whatsoever, and children are waving their shirts to earn money, and planes are going over them with pesticides, fungicides, and herbicides over them.
Yeah.
The land.
Mm-hmm.
And the sadness, because the sadness that to know that by eating conventional, you know, and yes, we do have some problems with organic. We do have problems but it's a step in the right direction, or it's a step in which each person can take. Growing your own food is the best thing everybody can do. Getting into communities, having community gardens, which a lot of places have. Even where I live, we have a community garden, you know, that you can have a little plot. You can apply for a plot. You have, you know, you have your local botanical gardens. I mean, this country is so such a blessing, you know, in many ways. Humanity is such a blessing, you know. And I believe in the goodness of people. I really do believe in the goodness of people. And I have no doubt, because I've been around the world where they tell you it's not safe. And I've been lucky enough that always in my travels, wherever I've been, I found beautiful people, people doing good things, wanting better things for everyone. And but this, you have to want it for yourself also. Do you want to be healthier? Do you want to learn something new? Do you want to buy produce that maybe has some kind of regulation? Or, you know, because maybe one day we won't need any more regulations. And everybody will grow organic food, and everybody would have clean water, and we all be able to breathe clean air. Okay, but for this, it takes people to wanting to live this way, to wishing it, teaching it, having it in their homes, be examples for others, you know, joyful examples, not pointing finger samples, embodiment,
mm-hmm.
you see. And this is what I like to teach. You be the embodiment. And a friend of mine I love taught me. He says, Marcela, whenever you point one finger out, remember there is three more pointing right back at you. And I love that.
Exactly. Me too.
It's always coming right back to you. What am I doing to make any changes? What am I doing? How am I going to change my life, my ways? It's very difficult to change our own ways. Yes? So we have
to
work on that.
You know, and well, in making it in such a way that it's lifestyle, a change of lifestyle. I talk about this on different levels in recovery topics that I talk about. Food is a little bit different. I want to talk to you about this. You know, the most recent, you know, people used to say not to quote unquote diet, because, you know, you can be on whatever is the trend diet of the moment and lose the weight and feel a lot better about yourself and be lighter and feel more motivated because you feel like you've made progress, but that so often that completely reverses itself because you don't stay on that diet. And most recently, in fact, I was talking to a girl I felt so bad, a woman, last week I think it was, and she was just really shaming herself badly. And then I talked to another woman, same thing, you know, this keto has been a really big deal for a while now, the keto diet. And apparently I wasn't, so I can't tell you a lot about it, but I think they got rid of all the carbs and something else. And it was meant to be not a diet, but a lifestyle change. And the one young lady who had done it successfully and talked a lot about it, and how great it made her feel, and nothing but positive came out of her, and I'm not sure where the relapse came that reversed the trend, but she hadn't been doing it after she made whatever you want to call it, where she stepped off the beam for the keto plan. She stayed off. There wasn't an immediate correction. And then after I heard her and how she was shaming herself badly for doing that, I talked to the second person I knew who had been a long timer on that system, and I asked her if she was still on it. Now, no, the answer was no, but she was much kinder to herself about it. She just said no, it taught her some things that she's taken with her, but you know, looking up everything you eat is, I don't know, tedious. I don't know that it's that she didn't want it, but there was a lot of work that went into it all the time. And I saw them both. They both lost a lot of weight, felt really great, had the attitude that you would think that they would have when they were successful at this goal. They do. And then one gentle with herself about shifting away from that, I guess, and the other one shaming herself. But really, this, what you said about setting examples, and we've got to find a way, and you talked about educating, and that's a big one too. In fact, I even said something. It wasn't necessarily organic or approved food, but even the other night my husband and I were having a pizza, and I said, you know, one thing I've noticed, especially, you know, I've been looking up Marcella's book, he's seen it because it's been here in the house, I said, but in general, because I've heard a lot of people, like I said, using this phrase COVID weight, meaning they've put on weight during the lockdowns, the whatever, not eaten properly, just kind of scatterbrained because of so much that's going on. I said, you know, a lot of times eat more because it's there. It's not because we're hungry or that we need it. You know what I mean? It tastes good and it's there and we finish it. And, you know, we could probably cut it in half and
yes,
that would be enough to take, you know what I mean? Going further,
yes,
though, with better food, like you're talking about, it's,
yes,
yeah, got to be a way to be not,
well, something that
painful
is
in a diet, but a way of life.
Yes, and there is one thing that is important to consider, you see, because you said something so true. Yes, we eat it because it's there. We eat it because it tastes good. And how about consider this? Our brains are so addicted that we cannot stop because this is not food that is apt for your brain. This is really...
Yeah.
And this is very important to consider because then it's like, oh, wow. So maybe it's food that is bending your will just like if you were taking an illegal or legal drug is bending your will and you're addicted and you, it's not like it's just there. You can't stop. You can't stop because it has passed. You know, it has done such a number on your brain that is the same receptors like if you were taking heroin with sugar.
That is such a good point. Yes, sugar, I know, well, for me and anybody in recovery, a lot of people that stop drinking, for example, sugar in and of itself does that, but a lot of people that stop drinking alcohol has a lot of liquor in it, and suddenly somebody quits drinking in that particular scenario, and it's great. You know, they've gotten to a point where they can let that go in their life, but suddenly they put on a lot of weight. It's because the sugar and the alcohol is not there, and they find themselves picking up either sugary drinks or sugary food that they did never crave before. You know, it just all of a sudden was in their diet. So that the only reason I'm reiterating what you said is because it's so important about the addictive properties in a lot of this and approaching it the way you would any other addiction. Who do you want driving?
Yes.
You know, do you want to be a master of that decision or let the addiction drive you? And when you reframe some of the thoughts, it makes it a more desirable outcome to say, no, I'd like to control this, or, you know, have something to say about this.
Yes, because we should be, you see, and it's a transferring from alcohol or drugs to food that also are engaging with those receptors in the brain. So we, and food is something that is really the information, there is information. There is a wonderful book that I love, and I read that from Neil Bernard called The Food Seduction. And anybody who is in recovery from alcohols or drugs or whatever they're recovering from, it is important to read this book, because this book teaches you how dairy, how white flour, how certain oils and how certain sugars and certain carbs attach, you know, and fire all of these receptors in our brain, and on how important it is to understand that. Because once you understand this, you can forgive yourself. Once you understand this, you will understand that certain foods are not really foods. I'm not apt for the human brain or the human body. They just aren't. White sugar is one of them. Yes, vegetable oil is another problem. You see, dairy, it's another problem, because we also, it plays with our brain in a way that our brain and our whole being becomes addictive. We become out of focus, and we have no idea. And we have to understand that this is something that interwoven with our emotions. You see, but since nobody teaches, not many people teaches this. It's like, okay, no, that has nothing to do with the food, how I feel. And how about if you consider that how you feel and how you talk to yourself, besides having bad habits that you might of inherit or passed on through, how about if you multiply it by 10 or by 100 with the food you eat? Everything gets multiplied. So it's very difficult to heal when you don't have the proper nutrition and a nutrition that will accompany your recovery, whatever that is, being emotional, being an addiction, you see? Even
I do. Yes. Well, yeah, those are some triggers that will make people go the wrong way. But I was thinking, yes, all true. And then I was going a step further thinking about, schools for one, and the elderly, my folks in the last year moved to an assisted living facility. They needed some help with some illnesses that they have. And and you know, the grandkids go to school, and I was looking at what they're feeding both groups. You know, kids are in their formative time where they could be teachable before they get the bad habits. And the people who are the seniors, well, especially now this last couple years, it's more important than ever to not feed them crappy, greasy, not nutritious food to help build their immune systems when they're already compromised due to their age and their health. I'm a little shocked, just a sidebar, I guess, for the price of these places, the meals are included, that to me, it's great the meal's included, but it's not healthy, it's not nutritious, it's like the old school lunches used to be. It basically feeds them, but it doesn't do anything to keep them healthy. You know, it's not good nutrition. And I understand, you know, you can charge 15 grand for a two-bedroom apartment, whatever it is, 20 grand, 30 grand, throw in the meals. But, you know, I mean, to put in a, you know, maybe less of some of the stuff that just isn't productive food, and buy some healthy produce, you know, fruits and vegetables and whatever it would be that was going to be less of that, because a lot of older people don't have the same appetite they had when they were young anyway. So if you eliminate the what's that thing they keep having up there? Hash brown casserole. God, blah. Just a litany. I mean, it's, oh, God. And
yeah,
what are those fried chicken wing kind of things? But it's the fingers, you know, the chicken fingers, you know, fried food is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, God. Yeah,
I know. Terrible.
Oh God! You know, the problem is that
horrible.
We have. But you see, look, from the standpoint of view of bringing up my children in this country and going to the school and asking the school, "Hey, why are you feeding them the chicken fingers, the pizza every day, the ice cream? Why are you giving rewards as food?"
Oh, good.
It's a necessity. It's not a reward. And you know what? I got nowhere.
Nowhere.
I was looked upon if I was completely crazy. And
well, they've got to know that's cheap food that's not nutritious, though. I mean, I could see them
ignoring
you, but they've got to know better. Don't they have a nutritionist that works for the school boards?
The same thing. And the nutritionist and the dietitians, sadly, I remember back in the days when I wanted to go back to school and I wanted to study to become a certified dietitian, I went and I interviewed in two schools. And when I interviewed the two schools, I realized that they could never teach me what I was already in my path, and they could never teach me what I wanted to know in the school. So the truth, it's very sad what I'm saying, because when I sat with the major people in the school, and I went to sit an interview because I said, if I need to spend the money to get a new degree as a nutritionist or as a dietitian, I need to make sure the money that I'm going to spend and the time that I'm going to spend is going to be well worth it. And after I had these two interviews in two different schools, I turned around and I said, I'm not going to go back to certified university because they're not going to teach me what I need to know. And I turned around
not
and I went to the police guard and I went to study with one of the most important doctors in the United States and in the world, in a school of holistic and spiritual nutrition. So we are dealing with schools that are not teaching ways, and you know, in the doctors, they don't even have a semester in nutrition, which is the basis for health, you see. So we are in a rigged system, which is not helping people get the information they need to get, and it's not helping anybody to get healthier. In fact, it's helping everybody to get dependent on drugs and things that are not good for human beings. Human beings are always going to need to spend money and always going to need to go through healing because it's part of our journey. But yes, the way they're feeding people in the homes, it's also ridiculous. They should have a nutritionist and a dietitian in staff. Which they probably
well, I'm disappointed that they don't even teach those people. It's disappointing to hear that you were willing to go to those lengths and turned away from the traditional teaching. Because
I had to study other ways, many other ways
right.
to know what I know today. But you see, if you go to the hospital today, they have fast food in the hospital. See?
Yeah.
They serve you the most horrible food in a place where you should have for healing.
Whole Foods and Trader Joe are like that. It's all supposed to be better, you know, but it's maybe it's better than the fast food in the traditional grocery, but it's certainly not healthy. And I find it interesting because, again, I talk more about I need to get better, and one of the things I want to talk to you about next will be more maybe up my alley, because I'm not a cook, and I either need to learn to, or there's something in your book that really captivated me that I want to talk about my show. Not that you can't talk about anything you want because you're my guest, but I mean, as far as the listeners go, but I want to just finish up with this. It's interesting because when you talk about that education and looping it back from the actual food they're serving these people to know there's not a dietitian on staff or with the elderly or the young kids to help make sure that their meals are nutritious and healthy, especially it's unforgivable for kids. Like I said, they're teachable. They can find out early on and not have to unlearn bad habits if they were trained right in the first place, but that isn't even afforded them. And where that parallels here, a lot of the shows I do are, I told you it was recovery-based. A lot of it has to do with what you just said. I say on here all the time, people are sick of me saying it, that, you know, once you put out your hand for the first prescription, they start multiplying. And I'm not a doctor, and I'll make my disclaimer and say, yes, there's people that need to be on some kind of medication, but so I'm not saying don't throw away your pills. I'm not qualified to do that, so I'm not suggesting it. But I am saying, as I've said many times before, we're the most overprescribed country in the planet. Instead of taking time, you know, we used to have time with our doctors to develop a rapport and to have a conversation. And for one thing, like you said, they don't have the knowledge base. But they don't have the time anymore either. It's faster to throw a pill at it or to just not address it at all in what I call the traditional medical model. And so a lot of the healers I have on, whether it's for EMDR, DBT, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, whatever, yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, calligraphy, you know, music therapy, art therapy, whatever it might be, is outside of the traditional medical model. And a lot of my shows are on holistic and alternative treatments for other types of recovery. And what you've just said about food parallels all of the reasons why I'm doing the topics I'm doing in so many other areas of recovery, and now in food, because it parallels exactly across the board. We're not being taught right in the first place. And so that process of unlearning I was talking about, coupled with the addiction process, makes it difficult to choose, well, to know the changes to make. In your book, is when you guys see it, it's a resource that covers everything from food to liquids to self-soothing, all kinds of things. And she just gave you another book about the seduction of food to teach about the addictive properties. But I just find it amazing that for all of our money that's spent, I think everybody would like to be well if they could. Nobody likes to go through the healthcare system. It's terrible. It's painful. It's long lasting. Once you get in the loop, if you weren't a little crazy, you get a little crazy from trying to, you know, once you put your foot into the system. And it's a shame that that same money can't be directed to more productive means of healing. And so I'm sorry to hear that about the food and being a dietitian or a nutritionist in the traditional role of what they would be, because you would think that that would be, in fact, a doctor said that to me, why don't you find a nutritionist or a dietitian to talk to? Well, he didn't want to deal with it or didn't have the means to deal with it. I wasn't going to take any medication. That was his suggestion. I didn't. Maybe it would have done me some good, but based on what you just said, it wouldn't have been what I needed to make a permanent change in my lifestyle that I could live with and stay with, which is a lifestyle change, not a trend diet or something like that that pops up for people to help them, but a true lifestyle change coupled with a desire to change. But it's so mean and misleading, if you do have the desire to change, for people to, for some sources to not be the light keeper, but to be the one that makes it even a harder burden for you to do the right thing, from the food producers to marketing to the medical profession to the system, I guess, as we know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yes. The change will not come from the change in marketing. The change will not come from the change, you know, it's going to be, the change needs to come from one person to one person. And what I see is, for example, I talk in my book in a part how greatly the organic movement is growing. And what I see is that people are getting interested. People are sick of being sick. And, you know, and sometimes it takes that much. Like, I got sick of being sick. I got sick. And you know, when I got sicker, the sicker that I got was when I realized that my children were sick, when I realized that my son was getting sick. That just moved me to the core, and I realized that I needed to learn. I needed to do something to help. I could not look at the elephants in my living room. and then I had to learn, and it was not easy. And it was not easy to realize that, wow, the food that I was feeding my child, it was distracting him. It was making him distracted in his classes. He was not focused because he was not eating the right food. And I had to change that, and I had to change it for him, and then I had to change it for me, and I had to change the packagings, and I had to change the plastic out of the plastic, put things back into glass, and I had to change the water that we drank, and I had to, you see? So once you start peeling the layers, it is a process of time to make changes, to instill the changes. I remember when I was, I wanted my family to eat chia seeds. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yes.
And it took me a year. And the first few times I had to throw it to the garbage because nobody would eat it. Nobody would like it because it was a different texture. And I was, you know, a young mama, and I was a bit frustrated. And I'm like, gosh, you know. And then I needed to resource to my spiritual life, to ask a stronger force, to ask the divine to please help me, to have the patience to be able to feed my family good food without having to throw it out in the garbage.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because that's another thing, you know. Very disappointing when you're cooking for your husband or your partner or for your children and they don't like it, and it's all to the garbage and back to the pizza, back to the drawing board, and it's like, you know, because it's hard work. You work the whole day. You come home. You make food, and then nobody likes it. See, but then we need to change the roles. Then everybody needs to be participant of this conversation of health. It needs to be a matter of the relationship or the family or, you know, however your household is formed. You see, because
yes.
It shouldn't fall all in the hands of one person. This is a teamwork, a team effort. If you have a team in your house, if it's just by yourself, fantastic. Then you take care of yourself. You can do it.
Yeah, it's probably easier if you're by yourself to do it than to get the team to all cooperate on the same level. But one thing I want to mention to the audience and then skip on, she's got an area here about organic food, understanding GMOs, save the bees, why buy organic, vegan practices. And then there's a whole section on water because I want to talk about something else. I'm just going to say I think we all know that water is important and that tap water has at the very least fluoride, and chlorine, but our water even has a little bit of arsenic and God knows what else. I've been filtering my water for quite a while. She talks about, and may or may not have just missed, but there is a whole section in here on water, the structure of love, and talking about, you know, I know you've seen and been hit up for a lot of different types of filtration systems, filtered pitchers, lots of different information about water, and I think we all know the tap's not good and we need a different kind of water. There's a whole section here on water and how to be drinking healthy water and the importance of hydrating. There's salt, types of salt, environmental consciousness. And this was interesting. That gets into the air we breathe, cosmetics, which is huge. Now, that one, I've got down. Mercury in modern dentistry, my mom got down. She had a very forward-thinking dentist. I've been blessed with my dad's teeth. I don't have any cavities, and neither does he. But my mom, on the other hand, luck of the draw, was the poster child, had a lot of cavities, so most cavities were filled with mercury fillings. She had a dentist who was ahead of his time, expensive, had to take out all the mercury to put in, what was it?
Composite.
Yes, thank you. To put that in. And so there's things not related to food here. The environment, aluminum in your kitchen, neurotoxins. And just real quick, one thing I'll say about plastic, that's a thing I've done right, going back to glass or ceramic, different types of vessels for the food. One thing, and I haven't used a microwave in a million years, but just briefly for those that know, and I'm not getting this out of the book, and I'll stand corrected, but just know if you're using plastic, there's a lot of toxins in that plastic, and if you heat that, put it in the microwave, store your food in it, then you're likely to have some leaching, bleeding, however you want to put it, into your food and water if it's in a type of container that is full of toxins. In fact, I even caught my husband grabbing a bowl for the dogs when our season changed and we were, you know, the dogs were out more, so we were keeping water bowl out. He just grabbed a water bowl from a place we don't even use and grabbed, it was a big plastic bowl, and put it out there, and I grabbed it, you know, as soon as I saw it. And I said, no, you can't use this. He said, we don't use it. I said, I know, you should just throw it away. I don't think we'll ever use it. But certainly not for the dogs. You know, we're going to be putting water out there that's going to be in the heat and the sunshine, and it isn't healthy anyway. Coming out of the tap, it isn't healthy anyway, and putting it in plastic, it's going to leach poison into their already less than ideal water. So a section in here on the vessels that you put things in. And then when you get to part one is love. Those are the things, some of the things I was just talking about and we've been talking about. Part two is peace, and peace begins with you. I want to come back, if we have time, and talk about the 12 steps of health. A lot of people are familiar with 12 steps and other kinds of recovery concepts. That's why I kind of smiled when I saw 12 steps to health, transforming your life at your pace. And she gives 12 items here on how to do that. But a couple things that I wanted to talk about. One is you talk about the most important kitchen tools, and then back here further, she's got recipes on everything. So if there's anything you're looking for, whether it's bread, chips, dessert, soups, wraps, live foods, anything like that, there's recipes, beautiful pictures, ways to prepare these things. But where was that green liquid, the liquid stuff? What I thought we'd go over real quick was the most important kitchen tools, because that could help get people started by maybe getting, like I said, getting rid of some of that plastic. And there's a couple of these things on here that I need to get. One of the things, I didn't even know what it is. That's how bad I am in the kitchen. Your spiralizer and mandolin, but important tools for the kitchen. And then I've been interested a lot in the blended foods that you can make and drink. And you had a beautiful picture back here, and I had your bio in it, but I put it into the book. And, of course, there's a lot of pages. So now, oh, wait, I found it. I was fanning through your book to find it because that bookmark I put in is shoved to the back of the book. But a lot of good things that you can make in the blender. And I thought a good place for me to start, or if you're not a big cooker, that there's a lot of things that can be done in the blender, ways of getting your vegetables, and talk about that a little bit. But I liked this green juice, lemonades and green juice. Now, I don't know, there's probably people out there that drink green from the vegetables. But for those that have maybe seen someone doing it on TV and thought that that didn't look very fun, it's still the season for lemonade, but the lemonades and green juice, for one, I've started to really like cucumber water, like putting things in my water, but I'd like to start blending vegetables and things like that. And you do talk about cleaning produce as well, and I think that's really important for the fears that I was talking about earlier. You know, what might be on the surface of produce because of where we find it. You know, we find it out in the dirt, and we find it getting watered with water that's not necessarily clean water. So it starts out with some odds against it, unless you're growing your own and doing everything the right way. So I liked this four ways of cleaning produce. Can you talk just a little bit about, now, the food processor? There's one that we're not sponsoring anybody here as far as food processors go, but you put blender and food processor. And, you know, me, as I said, I've not been a cook. I was in my early 20s, and then I don't know where that went, and it's decades later. But I had a blender, and I think I was trying to treat it like a food processor because I burned up probably three blenders and then kind of gave up. I did some right things with the blender, but I think I tried to do some things that were meant for a food processor. Now, yeah.
Or a
if you have a food processor.
A commercial blender, that's the way to go, because I blew up several blenders doing the same thing that you did. Also. And
good to know.
Really, yes, when you have a commercial blender, you see, all of a sudden you can do even nut butters. You can do all of your smoothies. You can do things with barely any water. Like you can put an apple, a whole apple or two or three apples, and with a plunger, all of you turn it on and you make applesauce, you see, and you didn't use any water, and it's just because it's the commercial blender, the force is so much stronger. So then you don't need to use any water, and all of a sudden you have this delicious applesauce that is so much liked in America, okay, in North America. And there's ways to making very, very, very healthy things, but you do need a commercial blender. And it's well worth the money, You see, I always say sell your microwave or throw it away if you can. But and then with that money, buy yourself the right blender. You see, get rid of the things that they're not serving you for health. And then you get a good blender. Because a good blender, like, for example, I had mine for 20 years. Okay?
Wow.
And then I just changed it because I wanted to get the new model. That's all.
So that's all. Blender, food processor, and juicer, you really need all three of those things, huh?
You know what? You don't need it. I think you really don't need it. You need a good knife.
Can you juice in a blender or a food processor?
You cannot juice in a food processor. You can juice in a blender. In a regular blender, it's not going to be the
commercial blender.
You can do it in a regular blender too. Yes, and you don't even need a blender to make a juice. You can do it like my grandmother did it. She used to shred the carrots, shred the cucumbers, put them in a little fabric, and she used to squeeze it out. So you don't need to have everything. You just need to know, and you don't need to drink a whole glass of juice. Yes, when you're drinking a juice that is hand-squeezed, for example, like my grandmother used to make, she gave me 2 tablespoons. That's it. Because that was potent.
Okay.
See?
Got it. Mm-hmm.
You don't need
well, I guess drinking
glass.
Something a lot of us might be used to do, too. Drinking more. I talked about eating more than you needed to, drinking more than you need to, too, for the nutrition aspect. But if you're drinking... like, that looks like a pretty good-sized glass of that green juice. If you're wanting something, I mean, water ultimately, I guess, is something, but when you're bored with water and want to drink something that would be in a bigger glass, you sold me on the commercial blender. I'm sure it's more expensive, but when you're able to divide that by 20 years, it's not that expensive, especially compared to getting a cheap blender and blowing 3 of them up. You've paid for your commercial blender already.
Yes,
so
right.
that was an easy convince for me, you know, that easy convince. And the food processor, I've thought about getting that. Obviously, I've got your book, so I'll know what to do with it when I get one. Measuring cups I thought was really interesting because I know the concept, of course, but my Nana and I, when I was little, used to do Christmas baking with all of the things that are not in your book back in the day, you know, all of the Christmas cookies and candies and all that. And she had measuring cups and used them, but I felt like I could eyeball it pretty good, you know, what a cup was, what
that's
was normally
fantastic.
Called for. But
I think I love cooking without measurements, you know. The book took me so long to make because of all of the measurements, but once you become very good in the kitchen, you look at a recipe and you can reproduce it, like, or you can think about all of the comfort recipes and make them into healthy recipes, having the comfort taste but healthy. You see, like, I've done a few of those recipes, my family recipes, that they were full of oil and meat and they were very bad for your health, into healthy things. Yes? So there is a way to make all of your unhealthy food healthy. Be first, you see, you need to, it's like going to school. You know, you need to measure, you need to
very cool.
consciousness. And once you learn, you throw away all the measuring spoons, and you can do it without measuring. You can just eyeball it, because once you know it and once you know how to combine, believe me, the easiest way to eat is healthy. Why? Because throw it in the blender, mix it, you make a salad dressing for the week. Yeah? Put your vegetables, like I tell you how to wash them. Yeah? Buy a $30 or $50 ozone machine, okay, and soak your vegetables in a thing of water and put the ozone and vegetables, bacteria, viruses, parasites, everything. This is what they use in industry, even to clean meat, okay? So you can have that in your home. Mm. You can put an ozone machine. It's very easy. It's not expensive. They run from $30 to $60, okay? And
really?
Machines also, yes, they last. So basically, if the vegetable comes with a lot of dirt, just wash it, the dirt a little bit out fast, and then you soak it in water, cover it with water, and just drop on the little bowl with the ozone, and you ozonate everything, which the vegetables also, if they're a little bit wilted, they perk up, because ozone also helps the oxygenation of the vegetable. Okay, so then you have these
awesome,
beautiful perked up vegetables that are completely divinely clean, okay, and it's very, very easy. So once you go to school, you study this book, and you learn how to make these recipes, you will realize that you can create your own, because I wrote it in a way that you're able, if you learn it, you're going to be able to create your own, make variations. If you don't have this or that ingredient, you can use that or the other ingredient, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And cooking or making your food should not be so difficult or complicated, okay? At the beginning, when you don't know anything, it might be just like anything. When you uptake anything new, okay, there is such a thing as a learning curve. So expect that.
Yep.
Okay, expect mm-hmm. the learning curve. Take a deep breath and say, I can do this. I can do this.
Absolutely.
And talk to yourself, yes, in a way that I'm going to conquer this. I can do this. And when you do something good and this recipe comes out good from your own hands, okay, celebrate. Celebrate. You know, and talk to yourself
Absolutely.
And say, thank you, I was able to prepare something good for myself. And that's how we go through life, through making changes and using, you know, and you don't need every little gadget, okay? I'm explaining in the book, what are my favorite ones? Yes, do I use them
mm-hmm.
every day? No, I don't. And if I'm by myself, forget it. I'm a knife, you know, sometimes a blender, and that's it. That's it. You know, and sometimes I don't even use a cutting board. I make it on top of my plate.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that. One of the other things I like in here, because we're coming down toward the end of the show, I'm going to let you make any final comments, but I love the art that's in this book. I just want to go on to say to the audience that, again, that website, and I will put it in my program notes so that you can find it, but we did mention it at the beginning of the show and coming down here to the end of the show. It's Marcella, Marcela .love, L-O-V-E. So www.marcella.love to know about her. The book, again, is Love, Peace, and Vegetables. Recipes for Conscious Living, but the big print says Love, Peace, and Vegetables, which is so cool. But I wanted to just share really quick. She talks about also some conditions and healing. The table of contents is just full. The back part is recipes on with photographs to die for, of some really makes you want to make it when you see what it looks like. Now, whether yours comes out like that, again, the learning curve thing, you know, it may or may not look like that photo the first time you make it, but everything from kale to zucchini chips, you know, if you're a snacker who likes chips, to different kinds of salad soups, everything, the back half is tons of recipes, and the beginning about self-care, but there's also some poems, antidotes as we go through here. But one of them, if we want to live in harmony, health, and balance, we must embrace the path of healing and change. And boy, is that the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this photo with the porpoises and the, she looks like a green angel mermaid, but she's scattering hearts out of her basket. I love hearts. I just adore that picture. But there's a blessing. Divine light, please bless our gentle hands that touch and heal the earth so seeds may grow into gardens. Please illuminate our consciousness with understanding, compassion, and joy. Please open our hearts, anchoring love and light within each of us. Bless the food we eat, the water we drink, peace beyond the earth. Thank you. So, oh, and I'm going to do one more. Summon the world of your dreams in every one of your actions, a matter that matters to you and me, the animals, plants, rivers, oceans, mountains, and every living being. So going through the book, it's like I said in the very beginning of the intro, it's not a cookbook, although it's a cookbook. It's not a book of poetry, although it's a book of poetry. Beautiful pictures around like these poems that I've read, but then you get into the food and they're outstanding photographs of this beautiful food. But just this book is truly a work of art for all of the artists out there in so many ways by the information that is contained in it, the art that's contained in it, and the synergy of really the whole body of work is super impressive. And I think you said something about this in the beginning, and it worked that way for me. It really makes you want to explore the book because it's so full of a variety of things that are feel good, healthy, not imposing at all. So I highly recommend it. Marcella, is there anything that you'd like to say? We have about 15 minutes left or so. Is there any closing comment or any takeaway that you'd like people to have or anything we haven't touched on that you'd like to say?
Well, for me, if I can give something, I put a lot of what I know in this book, you know, and have things in your life that inspire you to become better, to become more whole, you see, to become happier and healthier, and you know, and that's really what I'm here for, to bring inspiration, to bring words of love, to bring beauty, you know, in a way that will inspire you to do that in your life, you know. And that's my message. That's my message always, with my words, with what I do, with how I teach. You know, we can do this, and we can do it together, and we can do it through a book, we can do it in person, we can do it through classes, you see. Now putting together a phenomenal program, which is a 3-day cleanse, and I'm so excited, because I not only have this...
Really?
Yes, I don't only have this magnus opus book, but I have this smaller book, which is a 3-day cleanse. And I'm going to be doing it live. I'm going to be having pre-recorded recipes. There is going to be a 3-day yoga class with 3 different levels. And I'm going to be teaching meditation. And then I'm going to be live on the phone teaching and guiding people on how to do these in all the levels, not only in the emotional level, because what happens when we eat things that are not good for us, you know, and how we take it back in a way that is not so difficult, that is not so, you know, wow, all of these. So step by step, little steps. So I'm so excited about this program, and hopefully by November I will do my first program. And then by December, it's going to be a much bigger one. My first trial is probably going to be a private in November with a small group. And in December, it's going to be a bigger group.
Good. Well, let me know. And are you going to be talking about this on your website? Because I'm sure there's anything that you want us to know building on this in the future, if there's going to be something on a date when it gets to be a bigger group and you're looking for participants. I think you know how to get a hold of me. If you don't, we've been going through a person who knows my number. You're welcome to have my personal number and let me know, and I'll make announcements at the beginning of other shows, because as I say, you know, this show goes from live to on demand, and there was a lot of interest in the show before this. And in fact, I'd like, when you're getting to November and December with what you're talking about, or even before, if you're doing the live, and I'll do it anyway, is one of the things I was thinking about this book is, not only is it a super great resource for you and you're going to really love it, but with the holidays coming, the biggest word on the front of the cover, and you'll see it if you clicked on a link to listen to this show rather than calling in the switchboard, you'll see a copy of the book cover scrolling at the bottom of your screen. But the biggest word, boom, right smack in the middle, is love. Then peace and vegetables is a little bit smaller, but for someone that you love as a gift with the holidays coming, of a way that they can have support in more conscious living, and really a cornucopia, not just of food and recipes again, but poetry, pictures. It's just, this is a wonderful gifting book anytime, but like I said, with the holidays coming, when you're thinking of, especially when you're thinking of people that, what do I possibly get them, the person who's got everything, or what can I get that's different this year, or something, instead of just buying, you know, the 50th tie or something like that, that, you know, the ugly sweater that somebody's never going to wear. A real way to manifest and pass along that love is with a different sort of gift than I guarantee you they've ever had before and will always find memorable. Because, again, I'm not exaggerating, and she's not paying me to say this, but it's obvious to anyone that picks it up, a whole lot of detailed planning, heart and soul, went into making this. It wasn't just an idea that she slapped together. This was a 10-year labor of love, and it shows. And by gifting that labor of love to someone you love, I think that might be one of the more valuable gifts that you've given. So that's what I've been thinking a lot about, as I've enjoyed having it around my home, what a great gift it would make for others. And, you know, when TV was talking about Christmas in July, for God's sake, normally I wouldn't be thinking about the holidays. We are still in August, okay? Everybody's got all their fall stuff out, you know, which is swell, but, you know, we are still in August. So, but even at that, you know, the holidays will be coming, and I think this would make a great gift for someone you love for the holidays, as well as for yourself. Yeah, in the inverse, if there's something that, you know, somebody, my mom always says, make a list. They want it to be a surprise, so I have to make a list, most of which won't be coming, but she'll have something to work off of. And something like
I'm
this.
I'm so glad.
You know,
I'm so glad you said that, because you picked up what I, one of the things that I designed the cover with the word big on love, was because I had in mind that when you give it to somebody, you give it as an offering of love, not just a present, but an offering of love. And I'm so happy that you said what you said, because you confirmed that what I did, that my deliverance is heard and seen.
It is. It definitely is. And that's why I say, whether it's you gifting someone else or somebody who always says, you're so hard to buy for, what would you like? You know, and maybe you want something different. Maybe you don't want another sweater, or, you know, would be interested in something different. I, you know, encourage you to take a look at the book, and that might be something you put on your list for someone to gift you, and vice versa. Anyway, great, great gift, because, you know, say it again, love is right smack in the middle of it, of a beautiful picture on the cover when you open it up. And that's the way I took it, is exactly the way you meant it. You did a great job from the cover all the way through with your production. And I would call this a production, really, not just a book. So take a look at it, everyone. And I think that you'll see the value that I do. And Marcella, I really appreciate you taking your time and coming on the show tonight to talk to us about it, share about your experience and your journey and the time it took to put this labor of love together. And you were really offering love to humanity and the universe when you created this art. And I thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And, you know, really, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. And I'm bringing this work to the world, you know. And I'm just so happy to bring it to the people that need it and want it into their homes, and to bring inspiration. It is my pleasure. It's my service to the world. And I'm honored and I'm happy to be able to do it.
As am I, and it's great that we do stream to all 50 states and 49 countries, so people all over the world are finding out about it. So pass the love around, everybody, and thank you so much, Marcella. And do get a hold of me when you're going to be doing the live show, or... I didn't let you finish. Is that going to be on your website as you're doing these things?
If you subscribe to my website, first of all, you're going to be able to get in to my November one. Whoever wants to get to my November one, that is going to be only a few people. I'm going to give a huge discount, because my first one is going to be my tryout. So I have to try how everything works. I'm just gonna sell it for a minimal amount so I can cover my costs. And then the second one, after the first one, I'm never going to give this discount again. So whoever is interested on that, please subscribe in my website and you will receive, and you will be part of the in circle to know where.
No, that's.
Yes.
No, that is really. I'm glad you said that.
I give.
Well, because again, this is Brain Injury Radio, and we have a tendency to forget. That was one reason why I said, "Tell me," but everybody, I just did it while I was talking to her. Easy as pie. Her picture shows up, and then a thing drops down and says to subscribe. You just put in your email address, your first name, you hit subscribe, and now you don't have to worry about remembering, because it's going to come to your email with reminders for these things. So again, it's Marcella, marcella.love, and while you're thinking of it right now, I would subscribe, you know, so that you'll, we have memory problems, a lot of us in the brain injury community. So with our best intentions, want to remember something, but it's hard to do. This makes it much easier. So thank you for saying that, because I did it. I'm done. I don't have to worry about it. I get my reminders in the email now, so I appreciate that. So lots of exciting things coming up to share, the cleanse and some other things, and then you can buy the book and get more information on the book, get a good look at the book on her website as well. So again, thank you so much for being on, Marcella, and as I get the reminders, I'll mention them on air, like I do some things at the beginning of the show when news comes up, because people will remember that you've been here and like to hear about things that are coming up in the future. So I'll be sure to mention it when I get my reminders.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. What a pleasure speaking with you. And
you too.
I wish you a lot of health. I wish you a lot of health.
Thank you.
And love and peace and vegetables, of course.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, everybody, again, Marcella Benson, sorry, bit my tongue. Marcella Benson, Love, Peace, and Vegetables. I'd like to thank you all for being here tonight. I'd like to thank her for being here tonight. Have a great rest of the week. I'll be back next Wednesday night. Good night and God bless everyone. Or love, peace, and let's have some vegetables this next week and get into a good new habit. I'm going to close with Brulee. You can find them at BruleeRecords.com. This is a Native American band. I think it goes well with the topic. I just love, I've been inspired by this book here, and I love the rain stick. So this is called Night Tree. It's the title cut off of one of their many great CDs. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you next week. Good night.